Welcome to Dementia Dialogue. Stories bring us together and help us to understand one another. Our podcast gives people with lived experience of dementia a way to share their stories with each other and the broader community in order to increase understanding and connection and decrease stigma. In this episode of Dementia Dialogue, Mind Over Matter, Game Changer, with Carolyn Cameron, host of Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey on Sportsnet.
Hi, Carolyn. I'm Michelle Taylor. I'm with the Alzheimer's Society of Ontario. It's really nice to meet you. Thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you for having me.
So we're with the Dementia Dialogue, and we're here to kind of talk about you and what your connection is and all of the things dementia and brain health. Carolyn, can you tell us a bit about yourself?
Sure. So my job, at least, I'm a sports broadcaster for Sportsnet. So I've been fortunate to do a lot of different roles over my almost 12 years there. So currently I work mostly on the hockey side. I'm a host in studio for Scotiabank Wednesday Night Hockey and our Hockey Central shows throughout the week, as well as rinkside for Hockey Night in Canada on occasion. And then one of my true loves too is tennis. So I'm fortunate to be able to do that in the hockey off season and sometimes when it comes up throughout the winter months. So yeah, I've just always been a very active person, grew up loving sports, playing sports. So it kind of was a natural fit moving into sports broadcasting.
It's exciting. So why did you decide to become involved with the Alzheimer's Society?
Yeah, so I was always very close with my grandma, now late grandma Shirley. And in the early 2010s, she was diagnosed with vascular dementia. And it was just a really hard diagnosis for my grandma, for myself, for my mom, her daughter, and our family, just to kind of take in and experience the ever-evolving reality of what it meant when she was diagnosed and what it would mean for the future and the months and years ahead. So shortly after her diagnosis, I was moved to Vancouver for work, and it made me feel really separated from her, obviously, both physically, but also emotionally, just not being able to visit and see her in person. And I really had a personal concern that I was going to miss out on some of her good years. So I think in a way to feel connected with her, even though I could talk to her on the phone and I visited home enough, it really helped me to get involved. So I reached out to the Alzheimer's Society of BC just to see how I could get involved and act as a spokesperson, just to use my job and talents of getting the word out to try and help them. But also just for a more firsthand experience, I decided to volunteer at a couple of seniors' homes on their memory floors. And that was just really, it was almost therapeutic for me and educational, because even though I wasn't able to connect to my grandma in the same way because of distance, I was able to connect with other people who needed visitors and welcomed visitors and needed that conversation. So it was therapeutic in the way that I felt like I was connecting with someone and doing good. I also think I got just as much, if not more, out of those conversations with the people I would visit as they did. And then it was educational, just in the sense of understanding how everyone's needs are different, but how simple those needs are. They didn't need correcting. They just needed a listening ear and someone who was very present with them in that moment and in their new reality. Because that's something I really struggled with right after my grandma was diagnosed, was almost wanting to correct and stay in the present moment of what I saw the reality to be. So volunteering really helped me, I guess, accept what Alzheimer's and dementia is and can do to people who are battling it. So that's why I got involved. And ever since, my grandma passed away in 2020, just at the start of the pandemic, from COVID, when it unfortunately hit her memory floor in the home that she was living in. So now I try and lend my voice and kind of my, how would I put it, just my reach in terms of helping to try and get the word out. And then in turn, which I'm sure we'll discuss, is then it's not just about supporting people and families who are struggling right now, but it's also about trying to look after ourselves and prevent it from happening to all of us in the future.
So that's excellent. Thank you so much for sharing that. So you did talk a little bit about prevention at the end. Why is brain health so important to you and that prevention piece?
Yeah, when my grandma was diagnosed, I would have been in my early 20s. So at that time in your life, you're still a little naive about perhaps your health and thinking long term about the fact that you're actually going to get older. So I was much more focused on what was happening to her and sure what was happening to me and my family emotionally. But now as I get older and I'm in my early 30s, I think I'm much more aware of purposefully looking after myself and how exercise, mindfulness, looking after your mental health, all of those things help you, not just now, but in the future. And I was fortunate enough to host Memory Ball in Toronto a few times. And this was pre-pandemic. And for those who aren't familiar with Memory Ball, it's incredible because it's put on by, at the time, people who are my age in their 20s, who had a firsthand experience, a lot of them with their parents who had been suffering from Alzheimer's or dementia. And they put this on to raise awareness, but also have a fun night for kind of the younger generation. And I remember at one of the memory balls, there was a doctor who was talking about how meditation can help prevent dementia. And I remember I just never thought of it. Because at the time, to me, meditation was still kind of almost this far-fetched concept. And I didn't have much of a handle or knowledge or even trust with it. And so hearing a doctor at Memory Ball talking about it and talking about kind of these different ways that we can help prevent dementia, I think that really struck a chord with me. So as I mentioned, for me, it's what can I do right now to look after my brain health? So whether that's looking after anxiety, making sure I get my heart rate up, hit workouts, staying active, eating well, it not only helps me to live a happier, healthier life right now, but it can also help me in the future to try and ward off Alzheimer's, dementia, and the like. So yeah, I think I'm just at the age that I'm a little bit more aware of what I do now can affect what happens in the future. And in turn, even I think back now more of, as I mentioned, I was very active as a kid and in high school, and I suffered from a couple of mild concussions, which turned into post-concussion syndrome. So even just being a little bit more careful about what I engage in terms of sports now and the risk. It's also different when you have a job and rent or a mortgage where, I mean, you have to work, but there's just a little bit more, I think, responsibility and awareness of looking after myself in more ways than one.
When you were talking about the younger years, you know, in your 20s, you're kind of invincible, or that's the thought anyways, as you're embarking on this, you know, your adult life, why do you think it's so important that people really take that pause moment and think of the benefits, as you were saying, of the healthy eating, the active lifestyle, the mindfulness, you know, whether it's through meditation or not? Why do you think, you know, to do that in your early years rather than kind of wait until your later years and then it's more reactive?
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. It's all about prevention as opposed to reaction and reactionary moves. And I even think about my grandma. I mean, she was born in 1926. So she obviously grew up in a much different world and lifestyle than I did. If I even think, yes, she was active in terms of she would go for walks. She was always on her feet. She was always doing something. But we have so much more information and research now, even if you think about physical activity. And I mentioned high intensity workouts and how beneficial the research has shown them to be just to get your heart rate up. So there's just so much more information. So my grandma wouldn't have known that when she was my age or even later on in her life, just how beneficial that was. So it's about not wasting the information we have and really trying to use it to our advantage. So I think too, when you're in your 20s, especially sometimes physical activity, sure, it's for fun. Sometimes it can also be for vain reasons. I think it's always good to think first and foremost, this is beneficial to my body and my mind.
So now you've spoken about a bunch of different things that you've done kind of in various stages of your life, right? You're still very young in your 30s. But how do you see people moving forward and, you know, thinking, well, how can I do that now? What kinds of steps can I take that can still make an impact now to be healthy and have my brain activity going? What are some small steps you would take?
I think for everyone, and I've read a couple of books on it, especially during COVID when we were all stuck at home, just on forming habits and how even mentally to try and get yourself into a new habit. And it doesn't necessarily need to be the mindset of, okay, I'm doing this today to help me in the future, even though that might be one of the reasons you do it. I even find for myself, who kind of work shift work, and in broadcasting, I work really late nights, and then I still wake up at a good time in the morning, and I just find I can be, I feel almost jet lagged or just very tired, and the days can be very long. Is for me, it's even just, even a day like today when we get off, it's like, you know what, going for a nice walk with the dog or jumping on the bike for 20 minutes, that will be way more beneficial for me than scrolling through TikTok. And now it's very, it's much easier said than done. But I think for me every day, that's more so the mindset is it's, how is this going to make me feel? And even for me with my job, which we don't have scripts, it's off the cuff. Sure, you prepare, but you need to have a sharp mind. It's okay, what can I do today that will help me tonight when I go to work? Because you're not always going to be at your best. You're not always going to be feeling 100% each and every day. And everyone's dealing with something we don't even know. And everyone has busy and stressful lives. So it's just those little baby steps and moments in the day where I think it's okay, I should probably reach for this apple instead of going for a fourth cookie, just to give myself some energy and give my mind a little edge. But again, I know how difficult it is, and it's easier said than done. But in terms of what we're talking about in terms of prevention, I see it more so in the last few years for me, just on a daily basis, is preparation. It's like, if I'm looking after my sleep, if I'm looking after my eating and my exercise, and even I've learned too, just the importance of rest and resting your mind and putting away your phone and not always being busy, is that's preparing me to succeed mentally, emotionally, at work. So it's, I guess it's kind of the athlete mentality too, but I think I see it as day to day, just trying to prepare. And listen, I have days where I just sit on the couch and eat cookies and don't do anything. So I don't want to make it sound like it's easy or I do it all the time. But I've found in the last few years, that's much more my mentality, is how can I prepare myself to succeed? And then in turn, hopefully that work now helps me in the future.
And I do, I empathize with you on that, because there are days where you just feel like you need that break, right? You can be on for the whole time, but yeah, you just need that pause and reflect. And it's okay to take care of yourself. You need to take care of yourself.
Yes.
Right? Rest your body, rest your mind. So there are over 175,000 people in Ontario right now that are caring for someone living with dementia. So what advice would you offer to someone who feels alone and unsure of what help is available to them caring for someone?
The Alzheimer's Society is just so helpful, because whether it's touching base with an actual person who then follows up with you, whether it's just going on the website to try and find further information and learn, it just helps you not feel alone. And again, it answers a lot of those questions and emotional questions that you might be struggling with. And I think for me too, when we're talking about perhaps my generation, and now even the generation coming up below me that's younger, is it's understanding compassion and empathy, both for the person who is firsthand dealing with dementia or Alzheimer's, but also the caregivers. And so that's where I remember when I was in BC, actually Dementia Friends launched. And the whole premise of Dementia Friends was really just understanding how to be a friend to someone with dementia. So it was as simple as, here's information on understanding what a day in the life is like. Here's what it's like for a caregiver. Here's what their reality is compared to yours. And back to what I was talking about not correcting them, just being very, very present with them in their reality. So I guess the biggest piece of advice is that even though you can feel very alone, you're not alone. And that's where the Alzheimer's Society is such a big help, because again, there's information, but there's also actual people who will follow up with you and be there with you.
That's great. Thank you. And yeah, if you want more information on finding a local society, please visit ourconnectionsmatter.ca. So what message do you want to leave our listeners?
I would gather that a lot of people who listen to this have firsthand, secondhand knowledge or experience with Alzheimer's and dementia. So you're already in it. You already understand what I'm talking about. You know the help. You're living it. So I think my advice would be, is be open with others as best you can while still protecting your own emotions, just with what you're going through. Again, for me right now, I feel like my purpose is to more so get the word out about prevention, but also just about understanding what it's like for people with dementia and Alzheimer's, raising money so that we can hopefully find a cure, but really just best supporting people who need it now. So I think the best way to do that is by talking, even though it can be very difficult and very emotional. Wherever you are in your journey, I think sharing can be very therapeutic for you. And I think that sharing can be very helpful for others as well. And my experience too, in terms of volunteering, it really helped me. Like it made me feel good. It made me understand my grandma more. It made me feel closer to her. And just, I mean, doing good, it helps both ways. So yeah, I guess long story short, my biggest piece of advice was, if you're comfortable, whatever your threshold is it's best to talk about it than not, both for you and for others.
Thank you so much, Carolyn, for being here, for sharing your story. We really appreciate it. And we are so grateful to have connectors like you who are supporting us.
No, thank you, Michelle.
This Dementia Dialogue episode is released under a new partnership of the Alzheimer's Society of Ontario and the Center for Education and Research on Aging and Health at Lakehead University. The Alzheimer's Society is excited to take on a leadership role in producing and marketing our podcasts to strengthen the voice of people with lived experience of dementia. Dementia Dialogue continues to receive financial support through the Dementia Community Investment of the Public Health Agency of Canada. Please continue to follow us on Facebook. Our web address remains dementiadialogue.ca. You may also reach us through email, dementiadialogue@alzon.ca.